My dearly beloved in Christ, today we have the story of the first of two multiplications of loaves and fishes that our Lord worked to feed a multitude of people. You can imagine the people following our Lord, not thinking of their needs. So enthused were they at his words and at the curing of the sick that our Lord worked. And so on this occasion, they followed him a great distance. And now it was well into the afternoon, and they had nothing to eat. So our Lord, in his compassion, worked this miracle, beginning with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, fed a multitude of 5,000 men, not even counting the women and children. So probably more than 10,000 people that our Lord fed with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. This multiplication of the loaves and the fish reminds us of the miracle of the multiplication of our Lord's own presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And in fact, I believe that our Lord had this in mind, the future institution of the Holy Eucharist, at the time of this miracle, because on the very next day, our Lord was in Capernaum, on the other side of the lake, teaching in the synagogue, and he brought to their minds the miracle that he had just worked. And he said to them, "You come to hear me because you were fed with the loaves and the fish in the wilderness, but I will give you my own flesh for the life of the world." He said, "Your fathers in the desert ate the manna, but they died. The bread that I will give you is my own flesh for the life of the world, and he who eats of it will live forever." Now, this occurred about 1 year. It says in the gospel, it was the time of the Passover. It was 1 year before our Lord's own passion and death, and of course before the Last Supper, when he fulfilled that promise that he would give his own flesh and blood for our spiritual food and drink. He fulfilled that promise at the Last Supper. And he continues to nourish our souls with his own body and blood. And how does this happen? Of course, it is at the Mass that the bread and wine is changed into the body and blood of our Lord. But this miracle is performed and can only be performed by a Catholic priest. And that is why we rejoice so much when there are new priests ordained, because only a priest can offer Mass. Only a priest can change bread and wine into the body and blood of our Lord. Of course, the priest also administers the sacraments, blesses the faithful, forgives sins, preaches the gospel. But more than anything, a priest is made a priest to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, and to change bread and wine into the Holy Eucharist. And think about this multiplication of loaves and fishes, how it began with so few, and yet it was multiplied so much that even after everyone was fed, there were still 12 full baskets of fragments of bread left over. And that is similar to the miracle our Lord works in the Holy Eucharist, because here he multiplies his own presence so that each of the faithful that comes to the communion rail receives not a part of Jesus, but receives Jesus Christ whole and entire. Our Lord is whole and entire in every host in the ciborium and in every part of every host. What an incredible miracle. And it is the priest, again, that works this miracle every day at Holy Mass. The priest whom our Lord obeys, when he says the words of consecration, God obeys this man and comes down upon the altar. What a wonderful thing the priesthood is. And in fact, the saints tell us that priests do not even fully understand the dignity that is given to them. If it were fully given to them to comprehend the wonderful dignity of being another Christ, they would die of sheer joy and wonder at the dignity, the power that is given to them. But of course, we all know the importance of the priesthood. Without it, the church would be empty. There would be no Blessed Sacrament. There would be no sacraments being administered. What would our life be without the priesthood? So not only do we owe our divine Lord tremendous gratitude for what he has given to us in the Mass, the sacraments, the priesthood, but we also should do our part to pray for priests and to pray for more vocations to the priesthood. To pray that boys who are being called by our Lord will respond generously to his call. St. Thomas Aquinas says that our Lord never fails his church, that he always gives adequate vocations for the needs of the church. And yet, we are in such dire need of more priests and more sisters and brothers, religious, to teach children, to be an example to the faithful, to pray, to live their religious life and earn graces for the salvation of souls. What a tremendous need there is today. After Vatican II, the convents and the monasteries and the seminaries were practically emptied as a result of the heretical doctrines of Vatican II that were such an assault on the religious life and the priesthood, as well as on the faith in general. But you go back to the ages of faith. You think the Middle Ages, when there were monasteries and convents everywhere. And why did so many young people leave the world? Why? Because they heard the call of our Lord, not in words, but in a prompting of their heart to follow our Lord, to do what the apostles did when he said to them, "Come, follow me." And they left everything and they followed him. But I think many vocations are given by our Lord and are rejected because the individual who received them is afraid of the sacrifice involved, afraid of having to give up, not being willing to give up material things, to give up the right to get married, to have one's own family, to give up one's own liberty, to do what you want. And again, to give up the possessions of this world. These are frightening sacrifices for a boy or girl who is growing up and feels on the one hand the prompting of our Lord and his grace to give up all and follow him, and on the other hand, the attractions of the world and of one's own nature to hold on to these things and not give them up. So we must pray for more vocations, and pray that our youth who are being called will be generous and respond to that call. But also, don't forget to pray for your priests and religious. Just because they are now religious and priests doesn't mean that you don't need to pray for them anymore. They're still human beings. They still are very human. And they are subject to temptation and to discouragement. The devil knows that if he can bring down a priest or a religious, he can affect many other people by the downfall of that one individual. And so we must pray for priests and religious. Again, pray for more vocations and pray for vocations from our parish. One of the things that I've been wanting to do for some time and do intend to get done now in the next month or so is to have a section in the vestibule and to have photos of the religious who have come from our parish, especially some of you who maybe have not been parishioners here for that long. Maybe you're not aware of how many sisters, how many vocations there are who grew up in this parish as youth and are members of different congregations. So it is something that will be a reminder to us to pray for them, but also, I hope, an inspiration for our youth to pray to know God's will in their lives and not to be afraid to follow the call of our Lord. Yes, The religious life requires sacrifice. It requires giving up. But our Lord will never be outdone in generosity. And for the sacrifices that a religious makes, our Lord will give in its place many graces and blessings. So much so that, as the saints tell us, there is no happier person in the world than a good religious, one who is living the religious life, who is conscientious in following the rule, living the vows, living the sacrifice that is required. They achieve an inner peace and a joy which the world cannot give nor understand. So let us esteem the priesthood, the religious life, and always pray for vocations. Parents who really understand this will desire that God calls one or more of their children, and they will pray for that grace. And they will also be careful to make certain that their home is a proper atmosphere where a vocation can take root and grow and develop. Because vocations begin, usually, when a boy or girl is quite young. And so parents will want to make certain that there are no pernicious influences in the home that could damage a vocation. And especially, good Catholic parents will never, out of selfishness, prevent a son or daughter of theirs from following a vocation. They will look upon that as one of the greatest blessings possible for their family. But sadly, some worldly-minded parents don't want to give up a son or a daughter for whatever reason, many different reasons. So that generosity that's required of the boy or girl, the young man, the young woman that's being called by our Lord, that same generosity is also required of the parents to give up that son or daughter to the service of our Lord. So let us, as we reflect upon this wonderful miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, reflect upon the dignity and the incredible blessing and vocation of the priesthood, but also of religious brothers and sisters who do so much for souls and earn graces for all of us by living their religious life. Let us pray for our priests and religious. Let us pray for more vocations and pray that our youth who are being called will have the generosity and the self-sacrifice necessary to follow God's call to serve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.